I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, it seems like ages since we've done one of these. We've been off for it was just 1 week we were off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we were busy.
Was it 1 week?
Yeah, I think it's just been 1 week.
It's been a long week.
It seems ages. Mm. And we were busy not winning the British Podcast Award for the best.
We didn't want it anyway.
Well, we didn't want it. We'll put it this way. When we were first nominated, we thought we didn't have a chance. And therefore, we thought we'll just go along for the ride. But once you're sitting there and you see the six titles of the podcast nominated in our category, at that point, you think, well, yeah, I do want it now. And then when they do the bronze and the silver, and we're neither bronze or silver, you've got a choice. You've either got nothing or you've got gold. And at that point, you really want it. But when they said, and the winning entry is a searing podcast that looks deeply into the... So I thought, well, that's it. We haven't won it.
We don't look deeply into anything. We like to just scratch the surface.
Yeah. However, the good news is we may
The
not...
good news is I saw Jamie Lang from Made in Chelsea.
That's true.
Which is the real triumph of the night.
It is.
So we're all winners.
Yeah.
And Francis Boulet.
This is from Made in Chelsea.
Yeah, but he's not on Made in Chelsea anymore. But
we'll talk Made in Chelsea later on. But we may not have won the award for the British Podcast Award for the best podcast. The good news is we've won the Canadian lottery.
Have we?
Yes, I was looking at the emails. Ms. Patricia Atkins, Canada Lottery, in conjunction with Lotto Sizzler International, have written to us and says, congratulations, your email address has won you $1 million. In the US, what? Not Canadian dollars.
Not Canadian dollars.
US $1 million.
Weird that the Canadian lottery gives US dollars.
It is interesting. But anyway, in the annual Canadian Hot Sizzler Lottery online lucky program held on the 8th day of May 2019, organised by the Canadian and South African government to promote the users of email account holders. Anyway, they've said army email address was attached to ticket number A95647560455001.
Which is very, very small paper.
Yes, and it drew the winning number, 18. Now, these numbers sound quite obvious, actually. 18, 19, 22, 30, 41 and 48 with the bonus.
You always think that when the lottery numbers come up, you think, oh, I probably could have guessed those.
Well, we didn't need to guess them because we would. And all we have to do is put in all our details and obviously our bank details.
So we have, and we're expecting our money anytime soon.
Anytime soon. Now, this is just the bit where we test the levels. So I'm going to try you with on my other podcast that I do. We've been very much enjoying the work of Gary Delaney, who's a one-liner comedian.
So many people with the surname Delaney. For a surname that doesn't sound
popular.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like Smith or Jones. You wouldn't go, oh gosh, there's loads of Jones. Because that would be silly.
The comedian Gary Delaney says, I've got a friend who suffers from paranoid delusions. He thinks he's a chocolate orange. I'm worried he's going to be sectioned. See? That's not bad, is it?
I think that's clever. I like a...
You like a
would
clever
you call
joke?
That a double entendre?
Yeah, well, it is a double entendre in many ways because it's sectioned as in sectioned under the Mental Health Act.
Yeah.
And
I always think of double entendre as having to be like kind of euphemistic.
Yeah, they're usually rude. But that is a double entendre. It's a double meaning. You start, Ruth, because I know there's a couple of things that we were talking about in the car. I'll tell you what I did think was interesting when we were talking in the car. You asked me, how do you burn a CD and how many songs can you get on a CD?
I was just wondering.
It is interesting because...
I remember you used to make me CDs back in the day when I wanted to listen to Cheryl Cole and James Blunt. were my favourites. And you would say, oh, I'll burn those onto a CD for you. And you would put them on a CD for me. And then I would, like, write the name on the CD. That was very exciting. And then for some reason, it's just... because you don't do it anymore. I was like, wait, can you still even do that? Like, how did it work?
Yes, but it is interesting. That is one of those things that nobody is ever going to have to do again. Yeah. Nobody will ever...
I'm not sad about it, though.
No, it just... things move on. But it's rather like... almost like the essence of the podcast. You know, you being a teenager, me being very old now. Because it's almost like somebody asking me to explain, what was button A on the old telephone boxes? How did the old pennies used to work?
I've never used a telephone box.
No. Have you never used a phone box?
I've never used a phone box. You know what would be nice, though? Just turn all these phone boxes into charging stations for phones.
I think so.
There are a few charging stations. Mm. Make them all that.
However, I was going to ask you to start with something that's on your mind.
British politics. So Theresa May has abdicated the throne.
Yeah.
And so she's not allowed to be Prime Minister anymore.
She is Prime Minister
until... she is Prime Minister until the 7th of June.
Well, the 7th of June, she steps down, then there's a leadership contest. So I think she's still...
do we
Prime
get
Minister
to vote on this leadership contest?
No, not unless you suddenly become a member of the Conservative Party.
I'm not.
No, it's a shame.
Can I join, just to get a vote?
Well...
I mean, I'm a member of a political party, so I can't.
No, you're a Green.
Yeah, so that's a political party.
Mm.
But anyway, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Theresa May. And so she did a speech that when she... what's the... resigned?
When she resigned, the
speech, and the one that everyone is tweeting the picture of, and someone said, this is such a haunting image. Like, some people are saying we should humanise her, and it's clearly, like, a really serious situation, and it's really sad and stuff. The same that people did for David Cameron, and then a lot of people have been like, she lets poor people starve, and she didn't cry for Grenfell victims, and blah, blah, blah. And so I was just wondering what you think about the whole... humanising of Theresa May. Like, how sad should we be feeling for her based on that speech and based on her crying and stuff?
Well, I think you should feel a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Just the humanity of it, and just the fact that it's somebody who had a top job and she's lost the top job and she's sort of lost the respect and admiration of colleagues and all that sort of thing. So I think whatever your politics are, you've got to sympathise with her to some extent. You know, it's almost like a Greek tragedy or a Shakespeare play where somebody high up is brought down.
And yeah, like a Shakespeare as well, Macbeth or something like that.
Yeah, so as a story, I think it has elements of Greek tragedy in that to some extent it was almost inevitable.
Predestined, yeah.
It was predestined. And also she was brought down by herself, by her own weaknesses, you know, in some ways.
But then in a lot of ways, I do understand when people were tweeting being like, oh, you've got to feel sorry for her, like, for this. And then a lot of people came back at it quite... like,
yeah, Owen Jones. Did you see the
Owen Jones? Yeah, was just one of many people. Owen Jones loves to be angry about something. You've got to give it to Owen Jones. I don't think he's spectacular at his job. But
well, what is his job? He's a pundit.
Pundit. I mean, I don't always agree with the way he like says things and stuff. But he's great at starting controversy with a really good line or something.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
He is, in essence, an annoying little pipsqueak, but maybe, you know, at this point, he plays
Twitter unbelievably well. I think he's in this politics now because a lot of it happens on Twitter, which is kind of ridiculous. He's probably the best at manipulating that. But this leads me on anyway to say about Theresa May, and we were talking about, was it, you know, predestined, her failure, or due to her own, like, could she have dealt with it in a way that wouldn't have resulted in the shambles that we're in now or whatever? And I don't know whether that's true or what, anything, but I saw someone talking about the glass cliff phenomenon.
Is this sort of, we elevate women and then throw them off?
Basically, this is what it is. The glass cliff is the phenomenon of women in leadership roles, such as executives in the corporate world and female political election candidates or leaders, being likelier than men to achieve leadership roles during periods of crisis or downturn when the chance of failure is highest. Because we subconsciously want women to be in a position of power when we can prove that women are not capable to hold positions of power.
Ooh, that's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
But the glass cliff thing is like... a lot of people have kind of, you know, it's not just something that's been come up with by this Theresa May thing, but a lot of people are saying that Theresa May is a really great example of the Glasscliff phenomenon. Well, the term, it was coined in 2004, though, so it's been around for quite a long time. It's coined by professors at the University of Exeter.
Of all the criticisms of Theresa May, I don't think anybody has said that she failed because she was a woman.
It's not because she's a woman. It's because we want to see women fail when they're in positions of power.
Well, you see, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, you know, women should be in more positions of power and then say, we just put her in a position of power so we could watch her fail.
No, well, it's not that we put her in a position of power to then watch her fail. It's just that they break through the glass ceiling.
Yeah.
Because she's in this position of power or whatever. And then their experiences are then different from their male counterparts. And I think that's true. I think that Theresa May will have had a different experience to if it had been a man.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure she would, really.
But women have a different experience in the world.
Yes, I know. We've gone through that before. You know, the fact that screwdrivers are designed for men because they're big or you know, whatever. Mm. We know the world is historically designed for men. But apart from that, I don't think there's any special reason why Theresa May's female gender led to a downfall.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that they say is that so the University of Houston psychology professor, a woman called Kristen Anderson, says that companies offer glass cliff positions to women because they consider women more expendable and better scapegoats. She says that organisations that offer women tough jobs believe they win either way. If the woman succeeds, the company is better off. If she fails, the company is no worse off. She can be blamed. The company gets credit for having been the company or party, gets credit for having been egalitarian and progressive and can return to its prior practice of appointing men. And then they talk about how some other people have talked about the glass cliff theory in that one of the reasons is... I think this is...
Nonsense.
This is clutching at straws, I think.
But I think the whole thing is clutching at straws.
Say that studies show that people believe women are better suited to lead stressed, unhappy companies or parties because they are felt to be more nurturing and intuitive. And the researchers argue that female leaders are not necessarily expected to improve the situation. Basically, the glass cliff theory, I think, is interesting, and I think it is true to an extent. Is that I think the thing that's true from it is that people subconsciously don't really enjoy seeing women in positions of power yet. I think it worries people and it scares people because it's a lot of change and whatever. But I don't think it's necessarily right for the Theresa May situation. But I think it is true. You do see a lot of women kind of in really difficult positions, like leadership ones.
Well, name me another one apart from Theresa May.
I can't think of one off the top of my head. If I gave it some thought, I could.
We're in the position where we're not giving anything much thought.
But no, I mean, like...
See, I'm just looking at the downfall of people in positions, you know, executive positions. I'm looking at people like Philip Green.
Yeah, I think it happens
Mike
to...
Ashley,
yeah, no, obviously it happened to men
Harvey
too.
Harvey Weinstein.
No, that is not the same situation. That is not the anything like what the glass cliff thing is. Harvey Weinstein is not a man who has fallen from power like Theresa May has at all. Harvey Weinstein is a man that assaulted women, and that's the reason
fallen from power.
No, that's not the same thing. That's not
because
the same
of
thing
his own weaknesses.
No, because the glass cliff is that we put women in positions of power in order to see them fail. No one put Harvey Weinstein in a position of power. Like, he made that for himself. That's not the same thing at all.
I'd like to talk now about Friends, not Friends the television show, but how you communicate with your friends.
Truly did think, gosh, we're going to talk about Friends again. I swear we only talked about that last week.
Yeah, and probably the week before.
It's becoming the new Beatles.
Well, we talk about Friends a lot.
I've got back into it as well, you know.
I was going to say, it's almost like, because you're doing exams at the moment, and that's why we didn't have a podcast last week, not because we were too excited about going to the podcast awards.
We were just sad. We're licking our wounds.
Yeah, and you are watching Friends probably more. It's your comfort watching, isn't it, when you're...
Yeah.
Have a break.
Just the old series.
But this is about... This is not about that. This is about Friends. One of Britain's leading girls' boarding schools. Have you heard of Roedean? It's a very, very famous girls' boarding school. It's sending its pupils on a Big Brother-style retreat, minus their mobile phones. So in that respect, it will be like Big Brother. In order to learn how to make friends properly and talk to each other, Rodine plans to send its sixth formers away for a week to a country house. So these are exactly your sort of age. Quotes, with lots of fresh air and no Wi-Fi, in the hope that the, and this is the crux of it, in the hope that the girls will start chatting face to face. So they're trying to learn, they're trying to teach.
That's so ridiculous.
So the girls will start chatting face to face rather than WhatsApping each other or liking photos on Instagram. The move comes from the headmaster, Oliver Blonde, who realised that pupils who thought they were close friends actually knew little about each other because they were just WhatsApping, etc. At the retreat, the sixth formers will be set team tasks and encouraged to make eye contact, read each other's
facial expressions,
and play board games.
I don't even know where to begin with that. Firstly, the implication that girls don't chat to each other is just ridiculous. Secondly, and I'm only speaking, obviously I'm only speaking for personal experience, but I'm the exact same age as these girls.
Experience.
I know the most intimate details about all my friends. I know everything about them. Me and my friends, I have lots of different groups of girlfriends.
You've got yours sectioned off into different groups, haven't you?
Well, not sectioned off like that. But I have friends that I'm friends with from college and old high school friends and my friends who I'm going on holiday with and my friends who I'm going to like Leeds Fest with. And I have my friends who I live close to. Like I have lots of individual groups of girlfriends. And I know that there's a whole thing of like some girls aren't really friends with girls. I very much am. And we chat to each other all the time. And not only do we chat online, we also chat all the time in person. Especially when I was at college, one of my best friends, Lydia, we had like the exact same timetable. I would spend more time with her than my family, easily. And we would talk non-stop the entire time. And also, one thing that they should just not have put in there, girls our age don't use WhatsApp. We only use it for Snapchat, Instagram. I mean, even Facebook Messenger probably more than WhatsApp.
You're not in a WhatsApp group?
Not with my friends, no. Yeah. The only WhatsApp group I'm in is
the family,
yeah. Oh. But, which is most people's WhatsApp group is their family.
Hmm.
We talk on Snapchat and it's just ridiculous.
Do you think it's because it's a posh school? Do
posh girls not talk to each other? I mean, I don't know. For definite, but I assume they do.
Right. And do you think it's because the headmaster's a bit old-fashioned?
I don't know.
Because they're going to play board games on these. It sounds fun, actually.
It sounds great. But I think the idea is that no one truly understands that, like, that's a big part of modern friendship.
Mm.
And it doesn't replace it at all. Like, talking online doesn't replace having real human contact.
Now, we got a heck of a lot of email, Ruth.
We didn't get any the week before, did we?
Well, that's why we got a heck of a lot, because it was mostly sympathy email, because we did mention that we hadn't had any emails. So several people sent us an email. Not just the Canadian Lottery, and we thank them, don't we, if they're listening.
Of course.
For their $1 million.
I'll be checking my online banking very shortly.
Yes, you should do. Aaron Smith rather flatteringly wrote to us to say, hi, Martin and Ruth, how do you think the country will vote in the European elections? Well, I think the Brexit Party will do rather well, and also the Liberals and the Greens. He says, will the Liberal Democrats get all the Remainers votes after promising a second vote? Well, he obviously sent us the email before the European elections.
So I can just pretend that I don't know. Yes, I think that what will happen is...
I wouldn't have
been able to tell you that what did happen would happen. I didn't think the Brexit Party would do as well as they did.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Hmm. Well, everybody said. I mean, I'm not claiming any psychic powers for that. Everybody said they would as well. I mean, he's Farage is, you know, we were saying Owen Jones is an annoying little pipsqueak, but he's quite effective.
I feel unfair to Owen Jones to compare him to Nigel Farage.
On the complete opposite political side of the political spectrum.
Nigel Farage is like a bit of a racist. Well, more than a bit of a racist.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
And he's anti-immigrant and stuff. Like, I feel unfair to Owen Jones to compare them.
Well,
like,
they're different views, but they're doing exactly the same thing.
I think they play the game similarly.
Yeah.
But
they're both demagogues, but from different sides of the argument.
Nigel Farage is...
Just because you don't like Nigel Farage...
No, but I don't not like him... So, like, Boris Johnson, don't really like, but I don't think his politics are, like, insane. Nigel Farage, I don't think that being a Conservative or Labour or whatever, I don't think any political leaning makes you, like, an inherently bad person. I think that's where we get unfair and stuff. But I think being UKIP makes you a bad person.
Well, no, some people say, if it's what they sincerely believe, why are they a bad person?
Because it is racist.
What, is UKIP or Brexit Party? He's not UKIP anyway, he's the Brexit Party.
No, but he used to be UKIP, he's the leader of UKIP.
No, he used to be the leader of UKIP.
Yeah, but he was the leader of UKIP.
Yeah, well, he's not anymore, he's the leader of the Brexit Party. Yeah. You've got to admire his skill, though, haven't you? 6 weeks he built up a political party.
Yeah, no, I can be like, wow, he's done well and stuff, but I can say that I think his politics make him a bad person. And also, he's just slimy.
Yeah, well, you won that argument on the slimy, vote. Anyway, thank you to everybody who did write to us. I better read the rest of it, or at least acknowledge the rest of them. Neil Holmes says he loves the podcast. He says it's essential Thursday listening on my drive home from work. All the best to Ruth in her exams. So bless him.
Thank you.
Peter Clark says we're his podcast of choice when he's out on his weekly run. He says, lazy as I am, I struggle for motivation.
Weekly run?
Yeah.
Can't be that lazy then.
Weekly? Anyway, he says, lazy as I am, I struggle for motivation and often stop around the 30-minute mark walking the rest of the way home.
Much longer than I run for.
You know, something I need to improve on. I was hoping maybe you could give me a motivational message in your podcast at around the 30-minute mark. And we're probably, around the 30-minute mark?
We'll let you into some movie magic. We actually edit the podcast.
Yes.
So it's hard to do timings. But we're at... I mean, in our world, we're 29 minutes in, so... Yes. But
it's probably before the 30-minute mark, because after we've edited out the rubbish, we might only be about 5 minutes in. So we'll...
Hey!
But anyway, take it from me. You can listen to it at the 30-minute mark. And he says, I was hoping
maybe... You know what? We'll just, at regular intervals throughout the podcast, we'll say, come on.
I was hoping maybe you could give me a motivational message, which would help my rather... poor performance. If you do, I'll let you know if it makes any difference, and you can also see if there's a future for you in motivational podcasts, because there are loads of
motivational podcasts.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, that's what struck us about the British Podcast Awards was the number of yes, it struck me anyway, the number of podcasts there are. I mean, these are just the ones that were nominated. Yeah, and there were
so many that I was like, wow, that sounds brilliant, and I've not even heard of it. Like, one of the ones that like absolutely cleaned up was this one called Have You Heard George's Podcast?
I have listened to it. They are very good. But there are so many podcasts.
And there's so many that sound really good as well.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this one. So thank you if you are
Why are you listening to this? There's some great podcasts out there.
Well, yeah, some of them sound great, but they're not that great. I listened to James Acaster and Ed Gamble.
Dad, you can't say that.
Why?
Because you can't say that something's...
You're allowed to give opinions on things. You've got a very... snowflakey sort of perception of what you're allowed to give opinions on. Why can't I say if someone said that about ours and then it was on there. I'm absolutely fine with that. Once you put yourself out there, you're up for criticism. And I listen to James Acaster, who I quite like, and Ed Gamble. They do a podcast about food, which I quite like as well.
Food. Necessary to survival.
Absolutely. Love food. Like James Acaster. I'm not that familiar with Ed Gamble. And they have a special guest on every week, which I suppose makes a difference. We never have a special guest on.
We can start having a special guest if you want.
Like who?
That's a mum.
What a brilliant idea.
I don't know that many people.
No, well, you got all those friends.
Oh, I didn't. You know what? I regret saying that because it sounds like I was like, look, I've got all these friends. I don't. I just have like 6 friends, but in groups
of 2. Groups.
Yeah. I could count all my friends on one hand. I just hang out with them separately.
Ruth with the 6-fingered hand. She's got all 6 friends on that one hand, thumb at either end. Anyway, what was I saying? I can't remember. But thank you to Neil Saunders, who sent us one, and Peter Clark. And
well, this one's got emojis.
Yes, and Martin Bolton, who says, who adds ketchup always in the cupboard.
So yeah, always.
Yeah, ketchup always in the cupboard. Thank you, Martin, for that. We were talking about weird people who put ketchup in the fridge. Thank you to Robert Oberti, who's a bit of a regular, a bit of a crony. He listens to Hawksby and Jacobs and stuff. And thank you to Terry Teal, who's a cab driver. He says, hi, Martin and Ruth. I'm a black cab driver in London. That'll be the colour of the cab. And I had your podcast. Well, you see, somebody complained once there was a crime, and I think it was the BBC reported it as a black cab driver. And somebody said a very angry tweet saying, how dare you refer to race as if it's relevant in this case? And the BBC tweeted back, we were referring to the colour of the cab, not the driver. But anyway, so I had your podcast on in the cab yesterday, and the customer I had in the back was listening to the podcast. Brilliant, another listener, and said what an intelligent young lady Ruth was.
Wow.
Thought I'd send Ruth some positive feedback. Love the show. We'll miss it when Ruth goes to university. And he says, P.S., although hopefully we will, I mean, university, long periods where you're not there, so hopefully we'll still carry on doing it. Should the popularity be maintained, such as it is. Anyway, thank you for all your emails. We do appreciate them. Just better give the address for the emails.
Oh, yes.
As we're touting through emails like crazy here.
The email address, if you do want to send one, is martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. It's martinandruthpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. See, I've finally given in to you.
Yeah, to my hucksterism.
Say it again!
yeah, here we go. Game of Thrones has finished, and I read that legions of Game of Thrones fans will be fascinated to hear that the show's popularity is such that counsellors are offering their services to fans bereft by the end of Game of Thrones.
People need to get a grip.
Therapy for bereft viewers is the headline here. And some guy's offered his services as a counsellor to offer therapy to Game of Thrones fans. Emilia Clarke, who plays Daenerys Targaryen, said that keeping quiet about her character's dramatic turn from heroine to mad queen had been torture. She said, 2 years ago, I got the script for this series and I knew what was going to happen to her. Every time someone would come to me and say, I love her, inside I was thinking, well, you're not going to love her for that long. was it a shock to you what happened? Tell me about the... Everybody's seen the final episode and had a comment on it. Some people say it's... So we'll do it quite briefly. Some people say disappointing.
I think not as bad as people are making out. The best they could do under the parameters that they were given, which was that George R. R. Martin never finished the last book. They had to do it in 6 episodes. It was massively rushed, and like, it's sad because the parts of this season were great as well, but the other the other 7 seasons were brilliant. Like, it's some of the best TV ever, but they didn't do justice to all the characters, and I would have liked to have seen more character development, so it made sense for Daenerys to become this mad queen and for characters like Tyrion not to make these mistakes that were necessary for the plot, and that's all.
So you are mildly bereft about the end of Game of Thrones.
Oh, I'm sad that it's finished. Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it a lot. Mm.
But Maiden Chelsea is on, so that sort of fills the hole, doesn't it?
It does not fill the hole at all. I mean, I don't want to offend anyone here, but I think that Game of Thrones is better TV than Maiden Chelsea. But yeah, I'm enjoying Maiden Chelsea a lot at the moment. I think it's a good season.
What's happening?
What's happening? Mm. I think a lot of the main things. So there's a lot of stuff between like Maeve and Miles, and they used to be together and now they're not anymore, and Maeve kind of wants him back and sort of doesn't, and it's a whole thing, and I really don't like Maeve at all. It's like Habs and Jaime, they're like best friends, but Jaime, they're like really like each other, but Habs used to go out with Jaime's best friend, so it's like, will they, weren't they, and they both are like, we can't, and it's honestly, it actually almost brought me to tears last week because I was like, just get together. Stupid.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's do a bit of music.
First
of all, we're going to have a bit of hip-hop from you, are we? So classic hip-hop?
I would just call it rap, really.
Just call it rap rather than hip-hop, right?
I'd probably call it like rap or grime.
Rap or grime, right. We're going to have a bit
of rap.
I
wouldn't call it hip-hop.
So we're going to have some rap or grime from you, and we're going to have a bit of country folk from me. But first of all...
Wait, no. I'm doing the country, you're doing the grime, right?
Yeah, I love grime. This was an interesting... I'm always interested in the new sort of genres of rock and roll or pop music. And this was the Icelandic entry in the Eurovision Song Contest, which we watched the end of it, didn't we?
Yes.
After we'd not won our award.
I fell asleep, but...
Yeah. The Icelandic, this is how Tryggvi Haraldsson, who's the lead singer of the Icelandic group, he described his band as an Icelandic award-winning anti-capitalist BDSM-inspired techno-punk.
Oh, yeah, because the Icelandics were the ones who they had... Two signs. They had a sign that was for like the trans rights sign with the.
Is that what's BDSM? I've never heard of BDSM.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey, Dad.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Sorry. Right.
And then they had another sign that was like pro-Palestine as well.
Right.
So they were very like it was quite politically charged.
Well, I'll let you hear how he could describe it. Icelandic award-winning anti-capitalist BDSM-inspired techno-punk cyber goth entertainment opera-influenced performance entourage founded with the goal of exposing the enemy of neoliberal society and the relentless scam that we call everyday life.
Well, you know what? Anomie,
which is well, it's a word I've heard a lot, and rather like what was the other word that neither of us knew the meaning of?
It was something about the fall of man or something.
Oh yes, it was. Oh goodness, we learned the word and now we don't know it. It's shocking.
If anyone remembers it, can you just tweet us or something? Because I don't want to have to listen to a podcast and now find out this word.
Right. Well, let's Google anomie and pretend we haven't Googled it by editing a little bit later on.
Is a condition in which society provides little moral guidance to individuals.
It's condition... Oh, I know what anomie means. It's a condition in which...
Wait, hold on a second. What does anomie mean?
Anomie is a sort of condition in which society offers you no sort of pointers as to
is that like
how to
moral guidance?
Yeah, no moral guidance. That's the sort of thing that anomie is.
Does this evolve from a conflict of belief systems? I guess that would kind of cause a breakdown of social bonds between individual and community, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they're saying. They're saying their entourage founded with the goal of exposing the anomie of neoliberal society. They're exposing the breakdown of society. And the other word... Prelapsarian, and that's...
It's like before the fall of man.
Yes, before Adam and Eve, isn't it? Prelapsarian. Good, we've sorted that out.
Yeah, time before the fall of man, innocent and unspoiled.
So it's almost simple just to say that this is grime. So let's have a listen.
Are we doing mine first?
We'll do yours first.
On a serious note, I joke. And a serious blow, I smoke. Jump on the beat like a frog off a boat. Take a leap, just float. Take a leap from my book, I know. Try to believe them, lost all hope. I just wanna chill, go home. Jump on my push bike and I zone. Ring, 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 answer my phone. Getting sick of my own ringtone. Pedal on shit so long. People need to go, grow a backbone. I'm bad to the bone, yeah, bit it. And I mash up the flow, getting silly with it. Yeah.
Well, that confused me. I thought that was an artist called TN Biscuits and a song called Slow Tie, but I'm wrong, aren't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, completely backwards. That is a song called TN Biscuits by Slow Tie.
But it's TN Biscuits, as well, in yeah, capital T, capital N, capital B for biscuits.
Yeah, but like you'd say TN Biscuits, I think. Hmm. Not that I've ever heard anyone...
Well, I say TN Biscuits.
But so that... okay.
And the artist called Slow Tie. What? Yes. Why is he called Slow Tie?
Thank God you've asked. So, Slow Tie, his name originates from a childhood nickname. So, his real name is... Oh, gosh, is it Tyrone or Tyron?
Tyrone.
If it's got but a, it's not got an E on the end.
Yeah, I think you'd still say Tyrone. Or Tyrone.
Anyway, Tyrone or Tyrone Frampton. And he had a speech impediment, which made him speak really slow.
Ah,
and so he was originally known as Slow Tie. And then he changed it to Slow Tie, spelled T-H-A-I, like yeah. the country. Just because I think
it looks cool and people do like mm-hmm. Thai food. So
yeah, and so he was brought up on a council estate in Northampton. So that's why his music is... very much like grime, and it's that similar sound to something like The Streets, but also with the more Stormzy-ness to it. And he's quite, like, some of his stuff is quite politically charged and things. One of his...
wasn't very political. He's fed up with his own ringtone.
It kind of is a bit, though. Like, if you listen to more of the lyrics, and one of his marketing campaigns was he had posters that looked like this. So it says, "Nothing Great About Britain," which is the name of his new album, and then the... up a bit is total public spending in the north has fallen by 6.3 billion in a decade. The south has seen a rise of 3.2 billion. And then slowtie.com, oh, very small.
That's talking to you, that's speaking directly to you, that isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. But obviously, he feels quite passionately about the inequalities between the north and the south and whatever. He's just really cool.
But Northampton's not the north, you see. Northampton's the Midlands.
Well,
really.
Yeah, the Midlands. Yeah. The Midlands is the north in the. It doesn't get money spent on it in the same way. And then if you've... this was my other thing. So I was going to talk about this when I talked about Theresa May, but then I thought, oh, actually, fits in with the Slow Tie stuff. Boris Johnson, have you seen this video of him? I've only just seen this morning, so I don't really know. But it's video of him being like a pound spent in Streatham.
Streatham.
Streatham is worth more than one spent in Strathclyde and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, as if he would say that. Like,
why has he said that?
He must have been asked a question about money and why is it all being spent in London or whatever. And he was saying, oh, it's worth so much more to spend one in Streatham than it is in Strathclyde and blah, blah, blah. Like, we need to spend more money in London to send money up to Strathclyde and stuff.
Yeah, I can see. I know where he's coming from there.
It's the biggest economy, so it creates more jobs and stuff, but...
Yeah.
Still.
Well, my song today, Ruth, combines two of my great loves, country music and tomatoes. It's a song...
You do love tomatoes.
I do love tomatoes. It's a song called Homegrown... Well, it's American, so it's Homegrown Tomatoes. And it's by...
Tomatoes.
Homegrown Tomatoes by Guy Clark.
There ain't nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden... Get you ripe and don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, need them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a pickin'. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes.
There we are, homegrown tomatoes.
I didn't like that at all. That's rubbish.
Oh, I love it. 1983 song by Guy Clark. I mean, it's not his best. I do love Guy Clark very much. He's no longer with us. Born 1941, died 2016 at the age of 74.
That's old.
Yeah, American folk singer, musician, songwriter, recording artist and performer. Made about 20-odd albums. Lots of other people recorded his songs. John Denver, have you heard of John Denver? He recorded that song, actually, Homegrown Tomatoes.
I've never actually heard of John Denver.
haven't you? I'm surprised.
No, I don't think so.
Had a couple of... Because you've heard of so much stuff. He's way before your time. John Denver's no longer with us as well. He died in a plane crash, actually.
God, real sob fest, Dad.
Yes.
And that one was by Guy Clark.
It was. Which is going to go on to Spotify, isn't
it? I just put it on Spotify. That's why I had to check it was called
Guy
Clark.
Because the last one you didn't put on.
I know.
You often miss my tune off and put your own ones on.
So yeah, no, I've not got your one. Whatever was between Kenny Rogers and Guy Clark, I've not got that one, so we'll have to talk about that afterwards.
Do you have a meme of the week?
I do. My question is, does Mamma Mia take place in A, a universe where ABBA doesn't exist and they're just making up the songs as they go, or B, a universe where ABBA does exist and everyone has rehearsed and memorised all of their songs just in case the situation arises where they might need one?
Excellent. I like that. It's very amusing. And it's very topical because there's a new film coming out called, I think it's called Yesterday, but it's basically a film about a universe in which the Beatles
exist. And then this guy like writes them all.
This guy
trailer came out ages ago.
Yeah, the film's about to come out. I didn't think the trailer, there was a story in the papers about it ages ago. He dreams the Beatles songs, and because he wakes up in a world where the Beatles have never existed... Tragic. He works in a world where the Beatles have never existed. He then, people think they're his songs.
Yeah.
And he sings them all perfectly. I do hope it's good. I mean, I love the idea and I love the premise, but it's a working title. It's Richard Curtis, all that crew. So I hope it turns out to be a good film.
Me too.
If you want to get in touch with us on email, we'd be thrilled to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to listen in total to the fantastic Guy Clark song, Homegrown Tomatoes, and the Slow Thai song, TN Biscuits, you can find it. How did you find it?
Just go into Spotify and either search Ruthie, Me and My Dad, and that'll take you straight to the playlist, or Martin and Ruth, and that'll go to our profile. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.